Pricing analysis is a research operation to determine the ideal pricing for the company's product. It is about finding a price that the customer or consumers are willing to pay, that isn't too low that it paints the picture of poor quality, yet it isn't so high that the target customers can't afford it or aren't willing to pay for it. So you try to find that ideal price. The terms pricing analysis and competitive pricing analysis are not interchangeable. Please understand there's a difference between the two. What is the difference? A competitive pricing analysis is specifically an analysis of the competitors' prices and how you would price your product to be as competitive as possible. On the other hand, pricing analysis describes a more general analysis that takes competitors' pricing into under consideration, but also looks at factors like your consumers and what are they willing to play, and also it should basically at least cover the cost of the item. Pricing elasticity of demand. Price elasticity of demand is used to determine how a change in price affects consumer demand. If consumers still purchase a product despite a price increase such as cigarettes and fuels, then product is considered inelastic. On the other hand, elastic products suffer from pricing fluctuation, example cable TV and movie tickets. Why? Because a decrease in the pricing can increase the sales. This is what I mentioned even earlier during the chapter. Price elasticity is calculated using the formula. Price elasticity on demand, percentage of change in competitive quantity divided by the percentage change in price. The concept of price helps you understand whether your product or service is sensitive to price fluctuation. Ideally, you want your product to be inelastic so that the demands remain stable if the prices do fluctuate. So, an inelastic product is better than elastic product. How do you price? What are the various strategies that you will use? Competitive-based pricing focuses on the existing market rate. Cost plus pricing minus cost plus price is equal to COGS plus markup. So what do we have? Dynamic pricing is so okay. So dynamic pricing is what? Surge pricing, demand pricing, or time-based pricing, that is air-date tickets. Freemium pricing offers free basic version. Users pay for the full feature premium version. High-low pricing, high essential initial price, lower the price as the product drops in novelty or relevance. So different type: competitive-based, cost-plus pricing, dynamic pricing, freemium pricing, and high-low pricing. Dynamic pricing you see mostly in train tickets, air tickets. Freemium you mostly see in a lot of apps that are available right now, and high-low pricing you normally see in cars. Hourly pricing, rate-based, it is used for consultants, freelancers, contractors, or laborers. Most of your SaaS platforms work on hourly pricing. Skimming pricing, highest possible price for a new product, lower it over a period of time. Penetration pricing is when you're trying to enter the market. Extremely low price to draw the attention, and then you would gradually increase. You could also make it freemium and then put on a price to it. Premium pricing. Price products high to present the product as high value, luxury, or premium. All your Apple products are premium pricing, or your Samsung high-end series. Project-based pricing, flat fee per project instead of a direct exchange of money for time. So it's even if I take 10 hours, 20 hours, it's a project based. So therefore, the entire project, I get a particular sum assigned to it. Value-based pricing. Customer sees value in the prices, so they buy it. So value for money. Bundle pricing offers two or more complementary products to sell together at one price. Then psychological pricing targets human psychology to boost your sales. Geographic pricing, priced differently depending on geographical location on market. Market size analysis. What is market size analysis? Size of the market is a critical component of market research that helps businesses understand the total addressable market is basically what part of the market am I targeting, what part of the market is available to me to target for a particular product, service or industry. It involves evaluating the overall size and potential of a market, typically expressed in terms of revenue, sales volume, and a number of or the number of potential customers. Now, so we have here what we call as share of market, serviceable available market, and total addressable. So I have the total addressable market. Within that, what is serviceable based on my domain, and within that, what is the share of market I actually hold. So a company's market share is its proportion of total sales in relation to the market or industry where it operates. Market share is the percentage of the total sales in an industry generated by a particular company. So we will, like, it's like iOS and Android. What is the share each of them hold in the market? Trend analysis. Trend analysis in marketing analytics refers to the process of examining historical data and identifying patterns or trends over a period of time to gain insights into consumer behavior, market dynamics, and the performance of marketing campaigns. We spoke about Temtrend over a period of time, so this is an extension of that. It helps marketers and businesses understand how various marketing efforts and external factors impact their KPIs or the key performance indicators and the business outcomes. What does it help? It helps businesses to know what the consumers are looking for and differentiate themselves from their competitors. By analyzing industry trends, you can identify opportunities that your competitors may have missed and find unique ways to meet the changing needs of your customers. So this will require more of real-time analysis. Tracking trends over time will also help you get a clearer picture of what to enter into and what to avoid. Also looking at the customer's behavior. Now, what are the types of trend analysis that we look at? Consumer trends focuses on understanding the changes in consumer behavior, preferences, and purchasing patterns to identify new opportunity for growth and develop targeted marketing campaign to reach a target market. Basically, anything is understanding the behavior or change in the consumer's preferences. Historical trends to identify patterns and trends that have emerged over time. Seasonal trends, analyzing seasonal trends can help you adjust inventory levels, pricing, and marketing strategies to maximize sales during peak seasons. Historical is based on time, seasonal is based on seasons, then geographic is based on location. So to understand how consumer behavior and preferences vary across different regions, this may help you tailor your marketing strategies and product offering to meet the unique needs of each region. Technology, as we said, it could be what technology is being used. So new technologies keep emerging all the time. Business need to keep up with the latest trend to stay relevant and competitive, to identify new opportunities for innovation, ways to automate processes and save time and money. Demographic trends has to do with more of age, gender. So analyzing demographic trends such as age, gender, income, education level can help you understand your target audience and develop marketing strategies that resonate with different demographics. So you have to know how your product or services is moving based on the demographics. Social media trends. By monitoring social media conversations and tracking hashtags and trends, you can identify new opportunities to create with your target audience and build brand awareness. Economic trends, inflation, GDP, depression, interest rates, informed decision about pricing, inventory, and expansion plans. Competitive market trend analysis focuses on strategies and performance of your competitors. Can help you identify new opportunities for growth, stay ahead of the competition, and competitive trend also can help you identify emerging threats and adjust your strategy in a agile way. Environmental trends, very important. Nowadays we are looking at more of sustainability trends, so that is comes in the or sustainability, people going for more than sustainability option. So with increasing concern about environmental, you certainly benefit from analyzing related to sustainability and eco-friendliness. By incorporating eco-friendly practices and products into your business strategy, you can appeal to the environmentally conscious consumers and reduce their environmental impact. Basically, a lot of your consumers are going to be a part of this, then you're basically leaving out those customers by not having a sustainability or eco-friendly option. Brand analysis and terminology. Brand analysis is the process of evaluating and assessing a brand's performance, perception, and equity in the market. It involves collecting and analyzing data to understand how a brand is perceived by the target audience, competitors, and other stakeholders. Brand analysis helps businesses make informed decisions about their marketing activities and the marketing efforts. So, what are the other terminologies that come with brand analysis is brand equity, the value of a brand that takes into consideration both financial and non-financial assets. Non-financial assets include all distinguishing elements of a brand as measured by public awareness or perception, goodwill and influence, that is brand equity. So you're basically considering financial and non-financial. Brand strategy, a business plan that includes specific long-term marketing goals that lead a company to have a successful brand that becomes synonymous with its character and values. Visual identity, a company's visual identity is made up of its name, logo, visual symbol, design, and any other visual component that distinguishes it from the competitor. As with brand voice, a company's visual identity should present consistent and cohesive imagery, color schemes, and tone across all channels. So visual identity even applies for organization where I would have the logo would having certain and all the presentations, everything would be related to those logo or that specific design format, the logo appearing in a certain way or staying in a particular place, all because it looking at that I know that this is the brand or the item, this particular brand that I'm dealing with. Brand awareness, this is the extent to which the company is identifiable in a crowded market. Expansion of brand awareness is often the major goal of marketing campaigns. It is absolutely crucial for new companies or new product launches, especially for new companies. Brand awareness is very important, that people need to be aware of the brand, only when then they will buy it. Brand gap. A brand gap is the difference between the company's brand strategy and the reality. Essentially, it represents the areas of improvement that are identified through a brand analysis. When these gaps are closed, a company can connect better with consumer, thereby raising the brand's equity. So what are the various elements of brand analysis? Brand identity, brand awareness, brand perception, brand positioning, customer loyalty and engagement, competitor analysis. So let's look at each of these terms. Brand identity, analyzing the visual elements, that is the logo, colors, typography, and brand messaging, taglines, mission statement, to understand how they align with the brand's core values and the target audience. My brand identity has to align with the colors, everything have to align with my core values, otherwise the target audience will not connect with it. Brand awareness, measuring the level of awareness and recognition of the brand among its target customers. Like for Nike, the moment you say let's do it, it will connect to Nike, that's the tagline. Brand perception, gathering data on how consumers perceive the brand in terms of quality, reliability, credibility, and other relevant attributes. Brand positioning, evaluating how the brand is positioned in the market compared to its competitors and assessing its relative relevance and distinctiveness. Customer loyalty and engagement. So how I position my brand in the market is very important. Now I come to customer loyalty and engagement. Assessing the level of customer loyalty and the effectiveness of engagement strategy is customer loyalty. That means how likely is the customer likely to recommend my brand to someone else or product to someone else. Competitor analysis, comparing the brand's performance and position with its key competitors to identify areas of strength and improvement. Customer commitment model. So we spoke about acquisition, we spoke about the different models. Now let's talk about the commitment model. What is customer commitment? First, let's understand that. Customers engage or continuous obligation to buy the same product or use the same company. In simpler terms, companies are using their product to influence, so influential for customers that they later will willing to keep coming back. We spoke some time ago about product gap, where I said if I do not have a certain product in my line assortment, then they are going to switch to somebody else. But if the moment I have it, they will come back to me. That is basically what is customer commitment, that they are so influenced by my brand, they will keep coming back for whatever I launch. So CS, basically customer commitment models, is CCM, which is, so what are the various dimensions of CCM? Is first is effective commitment, then we have continuous commitment. So let's first understand what these are. Effective commitment is the emotional attachment to a brand. If the customer's emotions are wrapped up in a brand, they're most likely to keep coming back. This means the business will be sure to get genuine connections with the audience and make customers feel they are a part of the family. Effective commitment is like creating a cult towards a brand and its product. Effective commitment creates brand advocates who are great assets for future success. That means I am emotionally connected to the brand, and everything that the brand does, I will believe in it. It could be for all the Apple users who will not leave Apple. So that is the, because they have a emotional, and their emotions are wrapped around the brand, so they will keep coming back. So they become part of that cult that you know. Continuous commitment occurs when customers are not that highly impressed by the company. They choose to stay because they give it more value than other choices, and they pick it up for logical reasons. Although continuance is commitment is the important factor of loyalty, it doesn't bring the buzz effect. There's a thin line between effective commitment and continuous commitment. So continuous commitment is people who would buy because they logically think it's right. They have no emotion. They're thinking more with their logical brains. So they are not going to be your exact brand ambassador. Effective commitment focuses on customer choosing a service provider because they feel attached to the brand, while continuous commitment happens when customers choose it because it is reasonable. Normative commitment. Normative commitment refers to when a customer remains committed to a brand because they feel an obligation to stay with the brand. Normative is associated with a person's value system. Having some busy beliefs, the person is inclined to pick up a product or service that best matches their value preferences. It could be maybe everyone in my family is on this brand and I want to stay on this brand no matter what the problems are, or because I started with, I do not want to go to the hassle of changing it. Economic dimension. This type of obligation is more related to the rational calculation. If the client is offered any economic initiative, for example, discounts, bonuses, loyalty program, his rational tells him by continuing to buy, for example, medicines in a particular pharmacy network or goods in a supermarket, he will be able to save a lot with large volume shopping or over a period of time. So more towards saving of money. Forced commitment. This type of relationship with a supplier of goods or services arises when a competitor is either absent in the market or not within the reach. For the example, a girl in a youth is engaged in and wanted to visit the skating rink on weekends as others. The only public ice rink in the city does not suit her due to her the lol, and there are simply no other alternatives, so she has to go there. So it's a forced commitment. Habitual commitment. Very often consumer behavior arises due to the persistence of repetitive practices to do with habits. They come so automatic that the consumer simply does not think about alternative. As a result, in order to knock him out of his habit, too strong a stimulus, for example, it could be emergence of a effective attachment to some other product, place or service. Habitual commitment, simple thing is being stuck to your organization and not moving on even when you have better growth opportunities. Importance of CCM, better relationships with your customer. Customers value the personal approach, and while always high regard companies that use it in their marketing strategy. It's called relationship marketing. It's a better way to improve customer loyalty is over building relationship with your customer and making the customer feel wanted and needed. More sales over the long term. Every company that invests in its customers will get more committed visitors. Instead of looking for products, they will try to find ways to add items to their cart. That means if I'm a loyal customer, I will not just look at what products you're wearing, but as a committed customer, I will go to the website and hunt for items. Growth potential. Customer commitment makes company growth possible. There are more repeat purchases. Less money spent on marketing and sales or in getting sales. Reduce marketing cost. Running an e-commerce store is a challenging endeavor, as advertising on Google, Facebook and all other platforms is not cheap. However, if you have enough committed customers or loyal customers to your brand, you will drive revenue without spending excessive money and reducing your profit. Why? Because word of mouth, marketing, brand loyalty. According to Forbes, converting leads into customers is 5 times more even than investing in your current lines. We spoke about that 1% increase will lead to 3% growth, or 1% in retaining is equivalent to 6.71%. Competitor analysis. Competitor analysis is a strategic process used by businesses to evaluate and understand strengths and weaknesses of their competitors in the market. We will keep speaking about competitor analysis in various forums. The primary objective of competitor analysis is to gain valuable insights that can be used to make informed decisions, improve the company's own competitive position. How can I gain a competitive edge over the competitor or in the market? By studying competitors, businesses can identify opportunities, threats, anticipate market changes, and develop effective strategies to stay ahead in the industry. A competitive analysis framework, market analysis framework, or a competitive analysis model, as sometimes it's known, is a structure that business to research and evaluate their competitors. Benefits of competitive analysis framework: identify market shifts. Framework can easily make it easy to discover market shift. Locate gaps you don't even know you had. Examine businesses within a space can help you reveal gaps in your own strategy, in your product line, and various other things compared to your industry at the large. Target the most effective marketing strategies by pinpointing marketing challenges, channels that have worked well for your company competitors. You can create a data-backed roadmap to march confidently forward with your own marketing plans. When you know they have worked for that, you have more confidence that they will work for you also, because after all they are the competitors. Avoid mistake. In the same vein, you can avoid costly mistake by looking at what didn't work for your competitors. So basically, you learn from other people's mistakes or experiences. Create measurable and achievable goals. A competitive analysis framework, good one, helps businesses build specific performance goals based on their competitors' data. Make data more digestible. Frameworks help display dull or confusing information in a visually appealing and organized manner, making it much more easier to share your finding with the rest of the team, investors, or even the C-level executives. Two types of competitor analysis framework: SWOT analysis and Potter's five forces. SWOT is what most of us have done it in our organization, into four categories. So it has four categories: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. What is strength? Internal, that provides benefit like a highly trained staff. Weaknesses, that cause disadvantage, small marketing budget, product gap, will all come in weaknesses. Opportunities, external factors that pose opportunities like high demand for the product offering, threats, external factors that pose as challenges, that is increase in the cost of supplies. SWOT is especially helpful for identifying potential competitive advantage a business may have over others, as well as finding areas for improvement. So that was SWOT analysis. We even do SWOT analysis on a personal level. Now we go to Potter's five forces. What are Potter's five forces? Competitive framework, five key market forces, intensity of competitive rivalry, threat of new entrants, bargaining power of new buyers, bargaining power of suppliers, and threat of substitutes. So, intensity, what is the intensity of competition, that if I increase my price, they also increase, or if I decrease, they decrease. What if new entries come into the market, and because they are new entries, they will enter at a very low price. So people might switch on to that brand. Bargaining power of new buyers. So when new buyers come in, how much would you have to go down on the power prices? How much expensive would the suppliers get? And what about first copies and substitutes that come from my brand or my products? Five forces is especially useful for analyzing the competitive structure of an entire industry. The information will be helpful when shaping business strategy, creating targeted goals, and amid the expensive competitive landscape. However, you can apply this framework to niche industries or even specific market segment. We've seen the entire structure, so it helps us to do better. Types of competitor analysis frameworks that we have. First is the strategic group analysis. So what does the strategic group analysis tell us? It organizes competitors into groups based on similarity of strategy. So based on similar strategy, I will make groups of my competitors. Wide ranges of ways to groups. Competitors can be used as per marketing techniques, pricing techniques, range of offerings. There are multiple ways that you can group your competitors. Businesses must place own company into the analysis to get a better sense of which businesses they are most closely competing with and better understanding the impact the different strategies provide. So if I remember, later down the line in one of the chapters, we will discuss how do I identify the key competitors. So the strategic group analysis basically helps me with competitor identification, especially if I am in an industry which has a lot of competitors. For instance, if you discover that the top three most successful in your niche are all grouped together with the same pricing strategy, it may be time to do the same. That will benefit your own business. Then we have so that is our strategic group analysis. Then we come down to the growth share matrix. The growth share matrix classifies a company's product based against the competitive landscape. This is especially helpful for big organization with a large portfolio of products. A growth share matrix is the chart divided up into four quadrants: stars, question marks, cash cows, and pets. What are stars? Product with high growth and high market share. Invest more in this. So you want to promote products which have high growth and high market share. Question marks. Products, especially new ones with high growth but low market share. Because new products would still have a high growth, but they would not have a market share because they are new ones. Decide whether to invest. If convinced, it will become a star or give up on it. Cash cows. Products with low growth but high market share. They are usually used to fund investment in stars. So I will use the cash cows to basically invest in the stars. Pets, products with low growth, low market share, decide whether to reposition or give up on it completely. With the market analysis framework can help determine what's worth giving opportunity to and what to do, what to reposition and what to ditch. Perceptual mapping. Perceptual mapping is also known as position mapping. Visualizes the perception of a company and its competitors to a plot graph. To use this competitive analysis, choose two factors to use as a basis for comparison, like perceived quality and pricing. Then plot where your business and competitors fall on these two spectrums. So how will I position? Where is my perception? and based on that. It's great for obtaining a bird's eye view of how customers perceive your company in relation to other competitors. Armed with knowledge, your company can identify market trends and gaps and make adjustments to improve its existing position and smart and strong. Blue Ocean Model, Business Model Canvas. What is it? A business model is a single analysis that's divided into 9 elements. What are they? Customer segments. Who are the customers? Value proposition. Why do customers use the proposition? Channels. How are the propositions promoted, sold, and delivered? Customer relationship. How is the customer treated throughout their buyer journey? The revenue stream. How is revenue earned? What are the various streams that it is on? Activities. What unique strategies does the business use to deliver its proposition? Resources. What unique strategic assets are required to compete? Partnership. What are the business outsource so that it can focus on its key activities? Learn to relegate. Basically, partnership says that. Cost structure. What are the major cost drivers and how are they linked to the revenue? So these are the 9 elements that we have. What are they? Just going through it once again. Customer segment, value proposition, channels, relationship, revenue streams, activity, resources, partnerships, and cost structure. Customer journey map. It's also known as a user journey map. It is a visual story of the customer's interaction with the brand. First, all customer channels are mapped out. That is, websites, social channels, paid media, newsletters, email support, phone services, face-to-face services. If the customer is bringing motor locations, or you're basically sending a consultant to the customer. Customer journeys can also be mapped up across these channels for each buyer person. The customer experience at each touch point should be tracked on this map, including key management engagement metrics the customer hits. Below that, add how the customer responds to address the customer's concern. Finally, jot down what opportunities to improve the experience level at each channel. Suppose the customer has a better experience on the face-to-face, not online. What can you do to get a better experience online? Have you answered the concerns that he might have? Utilizing journey maps can help gain insight into the customer's pain point and how to improve them, not only within your organization, but also your competitors' customers as well. Ultimately, if they have too many pain points with the competitors, I can make them my own customers. Propensity modeling. So, a customer journey map can help me in a lot of ways. Propensity modeling. Propensity modeling is a statistical technique used to predict the chances of certain events happening in the future. In marketing, for especially, propensity is used to predict customer behavior. A business can use it to find out whether a product is likely to respond to a particular offer or a purchase of product or given a certain set of circumstances. Mainly, you will use it when you're launching new products and you will guess if the customer is likely to buy that product and you will target those customers. In general, propensity model refers to different types of statistical designed to predict binary options. That is, either something well will happen or it won't. In order to build a propensity model, firm needs to collect data on customer behavior from 3 sources. Demographic data, which will tell you who your customer is. Transactional data to understand what are the purchases made and what actions they taken to understand his behavior. And to understand why the customer completed a particular action, business need, his or her posted in the comment section on social media. So, most commonly used are Probit and Logit. Probit is a regression model and Logit is a logistic regression model. What is Probit? Regression models where the dependent variable can only take 2 values because it is a regression model. Determine the likelihood that an event or item will fall into one of the range of categories. It is used to predict the likelihood of an event occurring, while logic are used to predict the odds of the success of a certain event. So Probit is more of a combination of linear and logistic regression where I can have multiple categories and understand where exactly the in which category it would fall into. Probit and logit are similar, but they are based on different function. Probit uses probits to determine the likelihood of an event falling into certain, while logic uses logistic functions. Logistic regression, logit models are commonly used in classification and predictive analysis. Based on a data set of independent variable, logic estimates the probability of an event. The dependent variable will always range from 0 to 1 or just 0 and 1. Random forest. In classification and regression, random forest is often used as a supervised machine learning algorithm for classification and regression. So we saw clustering, which was unsupervised. We have random forest, which is a supervised machine learning algorithm. It uses majority vote of the decision trees created on different sample. Random forest can handle both continuous and categorical variables, which is why it is used for regression and classification, and it produces better results while dealing with the classification problems. So a combination of decision tree on different samples. So that brings us to the end. Thank you.